So tonight, for our soaking in our home, I'm going to be sharing on the topic that really was impressed upon my heart about our everlasting Father. And He is so much more than that. But as I was preparing for this evening, the thing that really stood out to me is that we live in a time where everything is changing. It seems like there is daily changes. It seems like there is nothing the same. It feels like everything is topsy-turvy. Everything that can be shaken is being shaken. Our political climate, all sorts of different ways that we may or may not be able to connect with people because of having differences in ideas. Our ability to find ourselves in a place of peace and rest. There's so many things that can stir us up. And there's so many things that are constantly changing that it's sort of like what we would say is it's stressful. And it can be a place where we really struggle to feel that we are in a safe place or feel secure. And on top of that, the other thing that I'm realizing is that everything has changed so much that it feels like we can't count on a whole lot. I mean, we have planned obsolescence. I mean, the way that we make things out of cheap materials. I started thinking about how many expressions do we use that make us feel like we can't count on anything. And I came up with, here today, gone tomorrow. That's fleeting, just a flash in the pan, not built to last. I mean, I came up with all these different phrases, and we have a tendency to go around using those in different conversations with people. And so when I thought about all that, I just began to realize that ultimately what Father was showing me as I was preparing this and thinking about it is how often do we count on things in this world rather than looking to Him. We think that we can count on something. Yeah, you can take that to the bank. Well, guess what? Who knows whether the bank's even going to be solvent? I mean, we've got a whole lot of things. I'm not presenting any fear or anything, but we have a Heavenly Father who wants to be everything for us, and yet oftentimes we don't let Him. And that's what He showed me. And He said, on top of things changing, relationships are changing. In many respects, most of us have struggled with relationships at some time or another. Because to feel loved, to feel valued, and to feel secure to those that are closest to us sometimes is a struggle because of the things that have happened. Whether it was something that happened as a child, whether it's something that happened with an individual, the ability to trust, even in marriages, has been greatly eroded. The ability to have people let us down is always there. It's a constant. I mean, how many? There's nobody in this room that hasn't been let down by somebody. Whether it's somebody when you were growing up or whether it's somebody since then, it's all about not feeling secure because our relationships are so unstable. We have dysfunctional families. Let's face it. There aren't a whole lot of us that grew up in a home where we really felt 100% safe and all of our heart's desires were not going to be met. But we are prone to looking to others, and we think we can count on every day, and yet guess what? We really can't. And Father began to show me, He said, even the best of people is far from perfect, and will never have it be the same. A person can't be the same every day. I'll be the first one to admit I can't. So there's only one who never changes. There's only one who will never leave us. And that is our Heavenly Father. That is the one that is everlasting. And so He, about 2 weeks ago, had me look up in the concordance. He had me look up all the verses on everlasting. Now, let me tell you, that was quite a process. But first, He had me go to Webster's 1828 dictionary. And so the meaning for everlasting in the dictionary means lasting or enduring forever, eternal, existing or continuing without end. Immortal, it can mean perpetual, continuing indefinitely, endless. I just heard the Lord say, even in a marriage you say, until death do we part. I mean, we can only have this mortal life for so long. But there is one that is everlasting. And He wants us to recognize that that's what we're supposed to be focused on. We're supposed to be focused on the thing that's going to last, rather than the things that are fleeting of this world. In the Hebrew, the word everlasting literally means always, continuance, eternal, everlasting, evermore, perpetual, without end. By the time I got done reading those definitions, whether it was the dictionary or the Hebrew, I thought, okay, I don't think I have the reality of what he really is. I can know intellectually in my head, yeah, that's everlasting, he's everlasting, but I've not experienced it. It hasn't become a reality. It hasn't become the thing in my heart that makes me want to get up every day and spend more time with him. Because he's the only thing I can count on. He's meant to be the one I look to for everything. Rather than my husband. Rather than my children. Rather than my brother. Rather than all of you. You may let me down. Everybody has flaws and they're far from being at a place where they can give me what I need. And yet the one that is everlasting, how often do I fail to turn and look to him? Mm-hmm. He began to help me to recognize that we all have images that got put on our heart by somebody. Right? And as children, okay, we get images of who God is from them. Now, that's great if you had good parents, but most of us had imperfect parents and we got distorted images of who God is. And I can tell you right now that if we didn't feel loved, if we didn't feel valued, if somebody didn't make time for us, and we didn't feel that we belonged, we were far from feeling secure. And therefore, all of those things put together cause us to have an image that would say we can't count on our Heavenly Father. We can't count on the one that's everlasting. Because that image of everlasting and really caring for us, they disconnect. There's not a connection in our heart. Because the language of our heart is images. So tonight I'm challenging each one of you in this room and those on the internet that literally this is meant to be the image that he has, that he places on our heart. That he's everlasting. That he's never going to stop loving us, never going to stop being there. All of those things that we've always wanted. But we've never experienced that, most of us, growing up. And we felt disconnected and not sure that somebody will be there if we really need them. I mean, and I'm just going to be honest with you. I've recognized that the Lord showed me that there was years and there can still be moments where I look to my husband for something and he can't really give it to me. And so when am I going to recognize, whether you're single or whether you're married or whatever your relationships may be, if you don't look first to him, you're going to be disappointed. You're going to have something that you're going to struggle with because ultimately, he's the only one that can meet your every need. And we have this tendency to look in the wrong places. I grew up in a really good home. My parents loved me. They did the best they could. But guess what? My dad didn't know how to connect with a girl. I was the first girl in 5 generations. So he had all sorts of nephews, but he had no clue how to handle a girl. And I think he did pretty well when I was little, but when I got to be 12, 13, 14, he really didn't have a clue of how to emotionally connect with him. And the Lord showed me the way he did try to connect, and I can now smile and say, oh, I see that, Dad, you did try. But guess what? That made me really think that my Heavenly Father, my everlasting Father, was a little disconnected from me. He was distant. He was not really going to see or care or be involved in the details of my life. And so I can tell you right now that if we do that, it causes us to get the wrong image in our heart. What I got from my earthly dad is not who my true everlasting Father is. Until I get images that are changed, I'm still going to see my Heavenly Father that way. So tonight, I just want to give you a few of the images that I found from God's Word about what he really wants to be for each one of us. And I'm believing that you can begin to see in your heart that there is one who is more fully committed to you than any individual that's ever walked this earth that you may have been attempting to connect with. And I feel like I have to pause. Because he really wants us to connect with him. And we have looked to those that we can touch with physical flesh and bone bodies. And he's saying, no, I have something that's even more real than that. If you will open your heart and let me paint images for you of who I am. Father is quite different than most of us have experienced in human relationships. And I believe of all the things he wants tonight to help you recognize, he is fully committed to you knowing him and experiencing him. He doesn't want you to just have a head knowledge of what this means. He wants you to experience and encounter him. And that's what we're going to be praying, that as you spend time tonight, that he is going to reveal himself to you. He's unchanging. It says in Numbers 23:19 that he's not a man that he should lie, nor the son of man that he should repent. Hath he said it, and shall he not do it? Or hath he spoken, and shall he not make it good? He's not going back on his word. It says in Hebrews 13:8, he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Bottom line is, he's not changing. But we are so changeable. I can be extremely changeable. And therefore, we don't have an image of what unchanging even is. Do we realize there's somebody that's so solid? I mean, he calls himself the rock. Well, a rock is solid. It's something we can count on. It's not shifting sand. It's not that he's going to change tomorrow. He's going to be there for you if you will let him. But what he said to me as I was getting ready is, he is unchanging and committed to us, but he doesn't force himself on us. You have to choose to turn. But he's just hoping and believing that you're going to see him for who he is, and you're going to turn to him rather than something or someone else. Because you can trust him with all of your life. He really emphasized to me that he's always pursuing me and desiring a relationship with me. And he wants to know me. Whether anybody else thinks I'm cool or not, he does. And he thinks each one of you are cool. He thinks you're the greatest. He made you the way you are, and he is not about to say anything except, you're just perfect in his eyes. He really wants you to know you're perfect. So let me run through just a few scripture verses, and I'm just going to give you sort of the highlights of some of the verses. There's a lot in the Bible. The first time we see everlasting is in Genesis 9:16, and he made a covenant, an everlasting covenant with Noah after the ark. He determined he would never destroy mankind again. That's how much he's committed to us. No matter how much mankind walked away from him, he promised he would never destroy mankind again. And he just said, that's right. That's the reason when he got to the Tower of Babel, they just confused languages. Deuteronomy 33:25. Before Moses' death, Moses rehearsed in the people's ears who God is and what he's like. And Moses' quote is, the eternal God is our refuge and underneath are his everlasting arms. That means there's one that's never coming to an end. There's one that is meant to be our refuge. And underneath, he's going to gather us close to him with his everlasting arms. In other words, he doesn't let us fall through the cracks. Psalm 90:2 says, even from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. There's no one like him. Never will be. Psalm 103:17 says, but the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting. He has more mercy than we have ever tapped into yet. Mercy means we deserve something different, but we get mercy instead. We deserve to be judged. We deserve whatever, but he gives us mercy. It's even in the courts. Have mercy. Someone will plead to the judge of the court, have mercy on me. Well, we have a judge of the heavens who has every right to say that we've done something wrong. But guess what? His mercy endures forever. And he sent his son Jesus to take care of that so that we could come home. Psalm 119:142 says there's everlasting righteousness. So in other words, guess what? Jesus made us righteous, and there's everlasting righteousness. You can't be wrong if you're right. And it's everlasting. Psalm 145:13 says it's an everlasting kingdom. We are going to be a part of His kingdom that lasts forever. Woohoo! That sounds good to me. Isaiah 26 verse 5 says that He gives us everlasting strength. So when I'm feeling weak, if I will turn to Him, He can be my strength. When I don't feel that I have any to go on. Isaiah 35:10 says He's going to give us everlasting joy. Well, when we know Him and we really know Him and experience Him, I think that will make us more joyful, because I know it does me. When I went back over these notes, I thought, okay, you're the reason I can have a smile on my face, because you have a smile on your face when you look at me. Everlasting salvation, you will find address in Isaiah 45:17. It's not being concerned as to whether you're saved. This whole debate, once saved, always saved, or are you going to lose your salvation, blah, blah, blah. And I'm thinking, He says it's everlasting salvation. It's not something you have to be in fear about whether you're going to make it or not. Isaiah 54:8, He talks about Him having everlasting kindness. That one is one that I absolutely love, because it's giving me the recognition that no matter how harsh I may have experienced things in life with other people, He's the one that's going to be gentle and kind towards me. That's really helpful to me. Now, that was all the ones I found in what we call the Old Testament, which is what the Jewish people call the Tanakh. Okay, but I'm just telling you, there are countless references to everlasting in especially the Gospel of John. And most of them all say everlasting life. There's a few that talk about everlasting damnation, being separated. But I didn't have the Lord tell me to focus on that. He says, no, we're not focusing on what may happen to the world. These are all people that love me, and I want them to know I'm the everlasting life. So everlasting life goes on forever. But He had me focus on three verses specifically as I looked at these, and two of them, one of them is Genesis 21:33, and the other one's Isaiah 40:28, that talk about the everlasting God. And the other one is Isaiah 9:6, where it talks about everlasting Father. And so for a couple of minutes, I want to just think about all of the stories we have recorded in the Bible. Guess what? They literally are people's experiences with God. That's what they are. So put yourself in those experiences and begin to have Him become more real to you. And go there with Him and get the images on your heart as to what He's really talking about. So the first one from Genesis 26:33 is about Abraham experienced God, and He called Him everlasting God. Why? Because God was there to help him with Abimelech. He realized that God was the one that was there for him. Abimelech wasn't real happy. Okay, he saw God's faithfulness. In Isaiah 40:28, I love how Isaiah gives us a greater understanding of this everlasting God. Because this is verse 28, it says, "The creator of the ends of the earth neither faints or grows weary. His understanding is unsearchable, and He gives power to the weak, and to those who have no might, He increases their strength." Well, that paints a picture for me of not only does He know everything about me, because He's my creator, but He understands, and He wants to be everything that I need, if I will let Him. I'm sitting there, I've never understood this verse, Lord. Isaiah 9:6 is the prophetic word of talking about, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall rest upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." Now, I can understand all of those other names, they apply to Jesus. But I'm sitting there going through this one more time thinking, every time I read that verse, why in the world did you put everlasting Father in that prophetic word about Jesus? And he said, what did Jesus say about himself? If you have seen me, you have seen the Father. And he said, I want you to know I am the one that is the Father that's everlasting, but guess what? I meant for you to recognize that while I was invisible, Jesus isn't. And I gave you an image of who I'm really like as you look at my son. And so if you see my son, you've seen me. And I want you to have an image of what I'm like. Well, you start thinking about how Jesus was and you'll recognize he was a complete reflection of his everlasting Father. We need to understand that he is always good, always loving, everlasting Father. Jesus simply is the one that gave us an image as to who he really is. It's one thing, as I said, to know this in your head, that he is the everlasting Father. It's totally different to let him be your everlasting Father. So he asked me a question. How would I live my life and walk differently if I really believed he is who he says he is? I thought, oh my, there are times when I let him be who he is, and then there's other times where I am prone to being independent and trying to do things on my own and not really asking for his help or for his wisdom or his direction. And he said, well, go back, and he said, I want you to read to everybody 2 Corinthians 6:18. It says, I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. A Father to You is the name of the book that Mark Gide wrote a few years ago that we have read, and some of you even went through a study with us in this home. But do you know what? It's to you, and to you, and to you. He wants to be a Father to each one of us individually. This is not, for God so loved the world. No, this is for God so loved Anne, and Bonnie, and Carol, and I could name everybody here. It's everybody that is meant to have an individual, personal encounter with the everlasting Father. And so he wants us to let him be a father to us personally. He doesn't want it to be a father from a distance. That's what he told me. He said, every day, are you going to look into my eyes? Are you going to let me be that close? Are you going to let me be the one directing you? So he said, whether you grew up without a father, whether you had a father that was there but not really there, whether you had one that had high standards that you could never meet, whether you had one that expected the rules to be followed strictly, one that was harsh or abusive or something else, none of those images are who he is. None of those images are who he is. He said, I want you to ask me to show you who I am for you. You know what you grew up with. You know what you've experienced with other people. He wants to come and change the images that you've gotten on your heart because of some bad tastes in your mouth about who he might be. And he wants you, have you open up your heart so he can father you. Amen. We were always meant to have a heart-to-heart connection with our parents and other people. But he is the one who truly is the safe place to connect heart-to-heart with. He wants us to feel secure and attached. And he's been showing me more and more the images that I didn't know were there from what I've experienced in life that were not like him. He said, you don't have an accurate image of who I am as the everlasting Father. This is some of the descriptions he gave me. A true Father, he's always available, ready to listen, wants me to feel secure, is connected to my heart. He sees me as having great value. He sees me as having great worth. He is filled with love for me. He sees me and he totally accepts me and loves me just the way I am. Whew. If that can get to be real on the inside of us, it will change the way we do our life. And I'm just telling you, this is where I'm attempting to go. Because then as I sat one morning in his presence, he told me, I'm your doting father. I'm thinking, doting. He said, go look it up. I went to Webster's dictionary. Doting means regarding excessive fondness. Mm-hmm. To dote means to be excessively in love. To love to excess or extravagance. Woo! I don't know about any of you, but that just blows me away. I mean, I could run around this room right now just thinking about that, because the minute I start to beat up on myself now and says, no, I love you. It's helping me to stop the patterns that I used to have from the past. I'm not telling you I get there every time, but I'm starting to make an effort to recognize that my everlasting Heavenly Father paid a huge price to redeem me and each one of you to come home. He sent His Son to die in our place so that He could redeem us and buy us back so we could come home and be His sons and daughter up close and personal. Not just sons and daughters that have tried to do things on our own and ended up as orphans, not even knowing we have an everlasting Father. Jesus did everything that was necessary. All I have to do is accept it. All I have left to do is receive it. I am so aware that it's all about receiving. And I, for one, never had anybody teach me how to receive. My mother was a very good giver, but she never showed me how to receive. Tonight, as you spend some time somewhere around our house, and those maybe on the Facebook after we sign off here, you can go find a place. Just put some music on, some quiet music. And put yourself in a position of being like a big sponge that's dry and thirsty. And you just need more. And just suck in His love. Let Him expand your heart to experience more of His love. He wants me to see myself through His eyes. Can you ask Him to show you who you are in His eyes? It'll change the way you see yourself. He sees us as perfect in Christ. When He looks at us, He sees His Son. He says, they're terrific. You're my precious treasure. So as He gave me all of these verses about everlasting, the thing that really then He said, all right, so Sue, this is the verse you have really, 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 really struggled to believe because of what you didn't experience. And that's Hebrews 13:5. He says, because He is the only one who will never, never, ever walk away from us. And I know people sitting in this room that have had people walk away from them. I know people in this room that have had people disconnect from you. I know people in this room that have lost those that you cared deeply for. But He's the one that will never walk away. And He told me to read this verse in the Amplified Bible. I'm going to start partway through it because He said, I don't need to read the first part, but this is where He told me to start. Be satisfied with your present circumstances and with what you have. For He, God Himself, has said, I will not in any way fail you, nor give you up, nor leave you without support. I will not, I will not, I will not in any degree leave you helpless, nor forsake you, nor let you down. Relax my hold on you. Assuredly not. Now that's a mouthful.
That is.
And believe me, I haven't begun to walk in that. And I've had a hard time believing that verse because my father was very distant. My mother was very busy. Other people can come and go, and I never was sure when anybody would connect with me. And for today, as I was preparing this, or the last couple days, he said, the reason you've struggled to believe this verse is because you never saw me as your everlasting Father. You never saw me as the one who will last forever, that's faithful, that won't walk away, that won't say, don't need you. He's the one that will always be there for us. And so He has got everlasting love, everlasting kindness, everlasting mercy, and so much more for each one of us to receive if we'll just open our hearts. But see, we have a tendency to wall off. We have a tendency to say, oh, I don't need that. No, I'm okay. And you know what? He can't fill you until you acknowledge you need something. And I was never allowed to even express that I had needs. So I'm learning to say, I need this. Sue needs this. Sue needs to ask for her needs to be met. Not to be fixated on myself, but to recognize I have viable needs. We are not self-sustaining power sources. We were meant to get things from him and not try and do it ourselves. And therefore, I need to ask for what I need. But tonight, I'd just like to pray for each one of you here and those on the internet that you would each encounter him as being the reality, experiencing the reality of him being the everlasting Father for you personally, and that he would reveal himself to you in ways that will allow you to connect heart to heart and to see him in your heart in ways that you have yet to experience. I'm sure each one of you could tell me something that you have already experienced, and that's wonderful, but I'm just encouraging you to believe for more. Don't ever quit. He's got so much more. We're never going to get to the end of him, even for eternity. So I think there's a whole lot more facets of him that I haven't experienced yet than I have. So, Father, right now we just come before your throne. We thank you that we have access to the throne of grace because of what your Son Jesus did. And we pray, Father, for each one that is listening right now and those that will listen in the future, that, Father, you would come and they would open their hearts to you, and you would allow their eyes to be opened, the eyes of their heart to be opened, to see you, to see your smile, to see your pleasure in each one of them. And Father, for them to personally experience you in a heart-to-heart connection with the reality of you being their everlasting, always good, everlasting love, loving Father. I thank you, Lord, that you would reveal yourself as the one that will never walk away and never forsake them. So I thank you, Lord, for what you're going to do in each heart, in Jesus' name. Amen.